Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great, great, great show for you today. My guest is singer-songwriter Tessa Torrence. Tessa and I are friends. We hang out sometimes. Sometimes I go hang out with her family a little bit. They're all incredibly nice people. She just put out a new record called Feel No Evil, which was produced by her dad, Kurt Newman of the Bodines. They co-wrote the songs. He played a lot of the stuff on there, had some songs mixed by Chris Lord-Alge, and pretty great record. And a great story. Turns out, I didn't even know how harrowing her childhood was. You know, she there's drugs, there's insanity, and we talk about it. It gets heavy. But before we get heavy, let me tell you this. It's my birthday, and I ain't heavy. I'm your brother. It's my birthday. I'm recording this on Monday, the day before this comes out, Monday, October 14th. It is my birthday. I'm going to go meet some friends in a little bit and hang out and see what happens, where the night takes me. I would put all of this on Instagram, but I have some bad news. My phone, which is a Samsung Galaxy S3, died last night. It went into this weird thing where it was just turning itself off constantly, and it wouldn't even let you really turn it on. So I'm not going to be able to Instagram or Facebook or tweet any of these pictures. I'm using an old phone. I had to get a loaner phone, but then they said, if you have one, go get one. So I went and got one, which is better. And it's a G1. It's a phone I used in like 2010, and it really is not up to date with what I'm used to, which is weird. Which really kind of puts you back a little bit because I don't know what kind of apps are there for it. Look, I'm not going to get into this. But long story short, a couple of days I'll have my phone. Hopefully people will Instagram some pictures and Facebook some pictures of tonight. You can kind of see what ended up happening. And so could I. Memories. Like the corner of my mind. This weekend I went out and I did not play. I went to the symphony on Friday. My friend Kelly Waddle, P. Kellogg Waddle, he was on the show I guess 2 years ago now. He was on the show a long time ago. We've been friends for like 25 years. He's a bass player in the symphony. I went to the symphony. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was beautiful. Saturday, I went and saw some more people that were on the podcast. I saw Scarlett Olsen. And then I went to see Roxy Rocha. And I went with my girlfriend, and we did a car-to-go thing. She's a member of the car-to-go situation, so we use these little smart cars, which are incredibly convenient. It's very cool, but the cars drive like what you imagine a shitty ass electric car would drive like. So that happened. It was a busy weekend, doing a lot of stuff. I've had a great time. I'm glad it was my birthday, although I spent a lot of it at the T-Mobile store. And I guess I'm getting old. Oh God, I'm old. Shit. All right. My guest today is singer-songwriter Tessa Torrence. She's just put out a new album in August called Feel No Evil. It was produced by her dad, Kurt Newman, from the Bodines. And he's been on the show, and we've jammed together. He came out and jammed with me one night at the Saxon Pub. And, I hang out with Tessa. We're friends. We talk on the phone. We do stuff together. I go out there to hang out with their family sometimes. They're extremely nice people. I don't know if you listen to the show for a long time, you know that I've asked them to adopt me. So that I can be part of their clan. Great family. And Tessa, it turns out, has overcome a pretty harrowing childhood, which included drugs and a lot of craziness and stuff I didn't even really know about until we sat down and talked about it right here on this show. So her album's great, Feel No Evil. I suggest you go out there and get it. Go check her out, tessatorrence.com. I guess without further ado, here's my dear friend, Tessa Torrence. Let's get down.
Stand alone again. killing floor. What's more, get a little glimpse of it every other day. I keep stepping one way, hearing what you say. I'm closing doors when no one's home. Pointless either way I go. Everyone strays back away, seeing what I have to say. I know all that ends up here throws away all that's been near. Go on, point the end at me. Every time it seems insane.
Is your first is it your first whole album?
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You can scoot in a little bit if you want. Did you ever release anything else?
No, this is my debut.
Not even
album.
Like a MySpace song in the era of MySpace?
In the era of MySpace, these songs, I put a few up, but
yeah.
They were internet.
Internet then, songs?
Yes, and then I took them down for a while because the interwebs can be a scary place for musicians.
Yeah, especially because probably you were young too, a young girl. It's a bad place for young girls.
It is a scary place for young girls.
How scary?
How scary?
No, so you played these songs kind of with a band, but then eventually that probably became exhausting trying to get all the people lined up and being like a teenage person. That's just
as a musician in general how hard it is, like leading a band,
right?
But it's, well, originally I wrote
sorry, went down the wrong way.
You're joking.
Initially, what, sorry,
well, it kind of was a little backwards. Like, I always wrote lyrics, and me and my dad would get together. Like, at one point I had an idea, and that was Love Is Dead Sunshine.
Right.
And we got together and I would come up with lyrics and a melody, and he would come up with music to it, or vice versa. He would come up with music and I would write to it. And we worked like that, and we recorded a bunch of songs. And then, yeah, I went out playing live a lot, and it was a little bit of a pain to, like, being like a young girl and going to, first of all, clubs saying, oh, I'm
clubs, you're not even old enough to get
I'm
in.
15,
yeah.
And I want to play at your club.
Yeah.
And I was lucky because there were guys, like, who let me. Like, there was, you know, Saxon Pub and Red Eyed Fly and Headhunters and a lot of the places on Red River and stuff. But finding musicians who want to play with some young girl who no one's heard of and who has this dad and all this.
People, who has this
dad? Like, really, like, judged.
Your dad,
like,
let's tell him, your dad's not just like some dude that plays guitar. Your dad's Kurt Newman from the Bodines.
Right.
The dude.
Right. Yeah. But so there were so many, like, some people were like, oh, I'm just, you know, no. Like, I got a lot of no's.
Right.
And it took me a long time to put together a band. And then, you know, in Austin, there's so many people playing all the time to maintain members of a band. And
yeah, because the guys that's going to play with you, it's not going to be their only thing. It's going to be one of the many things that they do.
Yeah, so it's like, can you do this night? And oh, can this person do
this? And so you get offered a date, and instead of being able to say yes, you got to contact like seven people, and they got to look at their thing, and they got to,
like, impossible.
Oh,
so,
God.
So it was crazy, but I played like the midnight residency at Saxon Pub like years ago. Like,
how in the world would a 16-year-old be able to get people to come out at six, you know what I mean? At
it
midnight.
Wasn't easy.
It was a weeknight, I'm sure, too, at night,
God,
like a Wednesday or something.
It was maybe like a Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. It was hard, but it was good.
It's not
for
really
me,
set up
just
to succeed.
Right. But it was just for, you know, everyone says, oh, have this experience. And so I was like,
that's
I'm going to do
you needed
whatever
some time.
I can do to, like, you know, if it's playing in front of no one, at least you are learning from it, hopefully. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And getting the time on stage.
Right. Because
you need to put in
important.
Some time up there.
And you know what? I learned, like, when I was playing on a river, I learned that people are going to yell to you, like, why don't you rock? Show us your tits. You know, like, you learn those things. You learn how to deal
are
with
those
things.
Separate things, or did people say that actually together? Why don't you rock? Show us your tits.
It's oh, like, no. That's a lot of questions. This happened.
So... Yeah. Wow. How did you handle that? What do you say when someone says, show us your tits?
Well, that
I'm
was
glad
a different...
that you and I are good enough friends that I can actually, you're not just some stranger.
I know, right? At that point in time, literally, like, it was so funny because there were like five people there. And actually, who was there? I think one of the guys that plays with you was there. Or he had, no, he had
and
heard
it was
about
him
it.
Then.
I ran into him and okay. he had heard about it. Like, okay. There were five people there and this guy was like, you're the tits girl, right? Like, and so... This guy, the owner of this club, and I won't say who it was.
Okay.
But so he's like, show us your tits, whatever.
The owner said it?
No joke. Oh. How impossible is that?
Oh my God.
To play that way.
Jerk.
So I just like.
And were you 16? I mean, that's like wrong on like eight different levels.
No, I was maybe a little older. I was maybe like 18 at that point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure because I lose track of time. But I just remember I was like, I was not going to show this guy my tits. So I like take a shot and like, this is when I was drinking. But, and I jump off the stage and I pretend to flash the audience that isn't there. But the guy is like behind me.
Okay.
So he's like pissed. Like I just said, I just was like, show me your tits. And he didn't see it, but no one did because it didn't happen. It just looked like it happened. And it like went down in history. Like everyone thought I flashed everyone, but no one really saw
it. The tits girl.
It was hilarious.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then you stopped playing.
Yeah.
And then you started working on the album. Or how did you start working on the stuff you had worked on before with your dad?
Kind of. We kind of went back to it.
What
Some
a great
of these songs,
collaborator. That's a great resource to have.
Well, we were lucky because, like, I always see it as, like, this album... wouldn't have necessarily happened if it wasn't like it just fell into place, like we worked so well together.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like either of us like pushing, like this is what we have to
right,
do.
Right,
it
right.
just came to like, be kind yeah. of. So, but yeah.
And so you just brought him words and stuff and he was like, yeah.
Well,
this
I would
is...
bring like ideas, like yeah. recordings and then.
And singing.
Yeah. And if he liked it, he'd be like, oh, and you'd put music to it. And then we would go into the studio and.
And rock it out.
Yeah. So then,
were there ever times that you had to tell him, like, "Hey, man, no way, that's a dumb idea." Or how do you say that to him?
Well,
do you say, "Oh, hey, man, no way, that's
no,
a dumb
it
idea"?
It never has happened because we send each other so much stuff. Like we've probably had 200 songs go back and forth between each other,
oh,
song
really?
Ideas.
Wow.
So it's like out of the batch, it's like. Oh, like we do it via email, even though we don't
live in the same house.
Yeah.
Well, that avoids awkwardness.
Right. So
then
it's
you
like,
can openly say.
Right. So there's been plenty of times I've sent him a song and it's just like, we don't talk about it. Or he sends me a song and we don't talk about it.
Right. Right.
But then, you know, like if you're talking about a song, it's yeah. like, okay, it's probably good.
Yeah.
And we don't ask each other about it if we don't hear from each
hey,
other.
Hey, man, I sent you that song and you didn't ever write like, back. Oh, that's so awkward at breakfast.
Right.
There's so many of you guys. How many are there of you?
Kids?
Yeah.
There's seven of us.
Seven of you? I could have sworn there was like 14.
There's the
Maybe
personalities
count
for a lot.
So people that listen to this show know that I have asked openly your parents to adopt me.
Yeah.
And
they've like
your dad kind of laughs
right?
so nervously when I say it. He doesn't say anything. He just laughs and your mom says, oh yeah. But I'm telling you that your life, your family would make like the world's greatest reality show.
I know.
Because it's just total, it's always chaos, but it's not like people are bleeding or they can't find
they
someone.
Would think
it's
there
like,
was no
it's just
way
chaos,
this
but
was really happening.
Yeah, but like, it works. It's like right. an actual real family. Like everything's fucking nuts.
Non-stop.
People are screaming, yelling. Someone might be crying. Someone's hair is completely insane.
And our adopted brother, Johnny Gowdy, might come over for pizza.
There you go.
And
learn about vampire movies. But now Kurt's not your real dad. How do you actually fit into this familiarly? Am I supposed to say that on here?
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a long story because.
Do you have an abridged version?
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know my biological father. He walked out on us when I was 6 or 7. The last time I saw him. He was like, fuck you, basically never want to see you again. And we never spoke again.
Okay. So, how old, you were 6 or 7?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember him? Was he a bad guy or was he?
You know what he is? Is a terrible alcoholic. He has substance abuse problems, and you know what happens to people that have those problems.
Yeah.
They're very like self-loathing. They create what they're in.
Yeah.
And so he.
A toxic environment.
Yeah. He chose to go that route very much.
And then he just up and left? Did he say, he said, fuck you? I'm leaving?
Well, he kind of, my parents have kind of, I think, like, drifted apart. You know, it happens, and they got divorced. And then he moved out, and we moved to Texas from Minnesota. And he never really reached out, and I saw him once after that. And he just, yeah, the trip was cut very short, you know? He went off about something and said, fuck you, get out of my house. Like, and we never talked again. And I was 7. And so Kurt, like, took, you know, like, he's the only dad I've ever known.
Right.
You know, and he's great. He's a lot better than most people's real dads are to them.
He's a whole lot better than that.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's so cool that you, I mean, that you ended up with that. So what?
Yeah.
What happened that you ended up being a heroin addict? I like, look, we're friends and we've hung out and we've gone and eaten sushi and we talk on the phone and we talk about chicks and dudes.
Yeah.
And I never knew that you were a heroin addict when you were 12. And I'm not trying to be funny. How the fuck do you score heroin when you're 12?
Well,
I sat around literally like walking around my apartment today vacuuming going like, how do you, like, I was trying to imagine a 12-year-old like, hey, is Sam around? You know what I mean? Like, it's just very odd to think. Okay, so what was going on?
Well, you know, I think a lot of things led up to it. Like, I, you know, we moved to Texas to this new environment. That stuff had happened with my biological father. And soon after that.
Do you think that maybe also in a thing of addiction, maybe there's a hereditary
factor? I do. I do think so.
Okay.
I think that.
Sorry.
But then at 9, a family friend started befriending me, and by the age of 9, I was, like, he was molesting me.
That's awful.
And so I think it was one of those things where I felt, like, really alone, you know?
Yeah. So there was no one you could tell or something? Man, I'm so sorry. I hate that happened.
He was, like, a family friend. He worked with my family. And it was just one of those things, like, you feel like you're in a box.
Yeah.
And also that sickness of, like, you think you're friends, like, when you're a kid that young, you don't realize what's happening. Like, wrong.
Yeah, socially you're not sophisticated enough. Emotionally you're not sophisticated. You're just not sophisticated enough to handle that sort of thing.
Right. So I think, because of all that, I started just hanging out with the wrong people. And it was natural to me to hang out with older people because I was around it so much. Like, in the music business, like, you have friends who are older, or these people. And I think it was just bad choices. And by the time I was, like, 11... I kind of started hanging out with people where you would go and do stuff, and I never got into, like, heavy. I mean, you're 11. Like, I wasn't going, like, oh, I'm going to score heroin today. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm going to do. But I started hanging out with these people, and this is actually a story I don't tell anyone, but everyone keeps asking, how did you get to be a heroin addict by the age of 12? So I started hanging out with this crowd, and these girls were, like, dating these older, like, drug dealers who, like,
and they were, like, little girls, like,
or were the at the girls time they were older? Probably like 16.
Okay.
And the guys were quite a bit older. And I don't know, these girls befriended me, and it's just, they one day,
why do you think so? Why would 16-year-olds be into a 12-year-old?
You know, I don't know. I didn't think it.
Do you think that they had problems too, and maybe they recognized something in you?
No. I think there, it was deeper than that, because actually the first time I ever tried it. These girls, I was at a party. And these girls, I guess,
I'm sorry, I hate to keep going back to this and embarrass and interrupting you, not embarrassing you, but interrupting you and saying, like, you're 12, you're like at a party. Like, if I was at a party, I'd notice there was like, hey, why is this 12-year-old here at this party?
I was very mature for my age.
You are very mature for your age, because I don't really hang out with people your age, and they all freak me out, but you and I have a great rapport.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry.
Well,
I just think it's weird, because even if I was 16 and I saw a 12-year-old at a party, I'd be like, hey, there's a 12-year-old here. What's going on? Why is this 12-year-old here? He's bumming me out.
Right. So I come to the bathroom or something, and I come back. And have you ever had that weird vibe where you're just like, something's weird, but you ignore it?
Yeah.
So I go and I like start drinking my drink. And next thing I know, I'm like out of it. Like, I feel just like, whoa. And these chicks
had dosed you out?
Well, yeah. And they're like, oh, let us take you to the bathroom. You don't look good. I'm like this 12-year-old kid. I feel stupid talking about 12. It as a 22-year-old woman. But as a 12-year-old kid, you're just like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And so I go into the bathroom with these chicks. And they wait until I'm like totally out of it. And they just lock the door and shoot me up with heroin.
Oh, so.
And that was the first time. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a dark story.
Oh, this is a weird story. Like, how do you.
And, well, the thing is, literally, they freaked out. They had given me so much stuff that they freaked out and they just left me in this bathroom. Just ran out and left me in this bathroom to die for all they cared.
Were you ODing or were you just regular heroin person? Well, I don't know what to call it. High.
No, high. I was, sorry. It was pretty bad. And finally, like, thank God someone found me and like, helped me.
And what, did they take you to a hospital or did they just hang out with you until you realized you weren't dying or something? Jesus, what a horrible situation to be in as such a small kid.
It was really messed up. And that's, stuff like that happens, you know? Like, their boyfriends were heroin dealers. And, like, people and so, like that do stuff like that.
And you didn't, like, when you...
The thing is, you looking back on it, you think, what the hell was I thinking? Like, usually you would learn from a situation.
Because I'm sure you went back and hung out with them the next day.
Right, usually you would learn from that situation and you'd go,
but you're 12.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, what the hell? But to me, it was, like, just the start of it. And it was just like.
And then you liked it? Is that what happened? Or you just kept on hanging out with them and you kept on doing it? Or did.
Yeah, it didn't take long to have that be like my world. Like after that. That's the thing.
I don't even know.
It was just like, oh, and then they were going to give it to you. And like, oh, okay. And then next thing you know, the tide changes.
Yeah, the first
and
one's
your
free,
world
and then
is like. Yeah. Really, like, torn apart. I mean, it truly, like, tore my world apart.
So what was your life like as a... I mean, I'm sorry to keep on dwelling on this. I just don't think I'm going to have this conversation. What is life like for a 12-year-old heroin addict? Like, you get... Did you realize that you would get sick if you didn't do it? Did you... Like, how long how long was your run?
Yeah. Well, I was clean by the time I was 16.
Jesus, so you did it for 4 years?
Yeah, and...
And I mean, Dad, did you hide it from your parents? And I mean, and were you shooting the whole time? Or were you snorting it? Or
all
what
of
was it?
Everything. But yeah.
Fuck. So what were your days like? I mean, did you know you had to score
well,
as like a 14 year
yeah.
old?
Yeah. Well, I lived like way. We lived out in the country still. Like
here? Like in Limburg?
Well,
or wherever?
Towards. Back then, we lived kind of between like Driftwood and Buda.
Okay.
And. The kids I was hanging out with were lived from like kind of like inner city kids, you know, like it was kind of different. Like they lived in Austin and it's kind of different. Like I came from this little like rural town, you know, there's a different,
mentality,
different mentality going on with
what
kids are doing.
A little more innocence out there.
Yeah. So, God, it just, it became everything. Like it truly did. It was constantly, when am I going to do it? When am I going to find it? When am I, like, I have to have it, you know? And
at the same time, you're going through puberty. What was your social life like? Did you just not have one?
Well, the thing is, I went through puberty really young.
Yeah.
When I was like 9.
Okay.
And I was like totally out of all that confusion, like normal kid confusion, so young.
Okay.
And, but I think you definitely like alienate your friends. Like no one knows what's going on with you, you know? And I was already kind of, you know, artsy and stuff in school. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was rejected in a lot of ways in those regards
anyway, yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just like, you know, eventually I had to, I couldn't do school anymore. I got out of school and started like homeschooling myself, and it was like a failure because I just had to start doing it like on my own time and start doing it like when I could, because I mean, I remember a point in time when I didn't get out of bed for 2 weeks straight, you know, and it was just like, I can't do it anymore. I mean, it was pretty intense.
So how did you get to a point where, I mean, like, was there an intervention or did you wake up one day and say, shit, man, I've been a junkie for 4 years. I'm only 16. What is going on?
I truly like hit rock bottom. Like truly where it's even like you look in the mirror and you're like, what the fuck, like where you hate yourself,
yeah,
where you're just like, this has to change. Yeah. And I think
it's just weird to be like 16 in that, because you know, normally you're my face is breaking out, you know what I mean?
I had to like completely start my life over, like at the age of 16, you know, I had to cut people out of my life, change my phone number and lock myself in my house, you know, when I was like 16.
So did you tell your family? Were you like, hey guys, this is what's going on with Tessa?
Not exactly. It came out a little later.
So
to my parents.
So how did you stop? I mean, that must have been, I mean, physically it's brutal.
Yeah.
And you're 16, you just kind of like hung out in your house, and what, did you take Valium or something? What did you do?
Valium.
I don't know.
I wish that worked, right?
Did you get on methadone? I don't know
what
you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like one of the hardest and most painful things that I've ever had to do in my entire life.
So what happened when you told your parents? Did they freak out on you? God, I'd never want to make your mom mad.
Yeah. You know, I don't really... I think a lot came out. Like, truly, so much happened in those years that it was almost one of those things, like, where we sat down and we talked and it was like, this is everything that happened, almost. And then it was like, oh yeah, and things would come up, and it wasn't so bad because my parents are pretty understanding.
Yeah.
At that point in time, it was hard because our relationship really like dwindled.
Right.
Like,
so you'd kind of like gone into a shell where you just...
Yeah, just... I was like nothing. I was a shell. You're right.
The only person you needed to communicate with in those 4 years was just your dealer, really. That you absolutely had to.
Yeah. No, people would call me and I would just be like,
yeah,
don't call me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you just turn into like a monster, really. And it was
when you cleaned up that you started playing then at Saxon Pub and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you, when you cleaned up, did you go and kind of like face all that other stuff and... you know, all of the...
Like the steps and things, or what?
No. Like, did you go in and kind of like, okay, well, obviously these things are off center within me, you know, in my psyche. There's some shit that's fucked up.
I had to do a lot of soul searching.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, this record, through it all, I wrote, you know? Yeah. And this record is like that. It is like my life story in a record. And when you really listen to it, you can hear that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It touches, you know, that's serious themes. However, you guys did manage to make it sound fun.
Yeah. Right? Oh, let's write these songs. And
no, it does. It sounds like it feels good. Yeah. Feels. It's pop. I mean, like, you know, you're a pop person. You're not.
Right.
What did you grow up listening to? God, that was really heavy. Sorry. I'm sorry that you had to go through all that stuff.
I don't.
Did we get out of it all right? You got out of it. You cleaned up.
Yeah.
You're good. Your parents are real nice. Your brothers and sisters, were they happy to have you back? Did you? It's so weird because you're so involved with your family, and this is a very different perspective than I have with most guests. But
it's true.
You are. You guys all, you know, you take care of each other. You go somewhere, they show up. You know, it's a thing.
Well, it is. But it's one of those things, like, I think after that, I was close with my siblings, but after that, I think you feel like how I kind of dove into it. Because at the time, then, that was all I had. It was music
something.
And it was family. Yeah. And I dove
head first
into both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, your family, obviously I wouldn't want to be adopted by them if I didn't think that you get as much out. You probably get more out than you put in because there's so much. They're such a loving group of people, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so then you go like, all right, I got this band. I'm going to put together this band. How did you have to go through channels like, oh, my dad knows somebody, maybe I'll call them and see what's going on? Well, did you actually do a Chronicle thing or did
post any ads? Well, no, I literally went out to clubs and was like, oh, I like you.
Right.
I like you.
Right.
And a few guys knew my dad, like things would come through him, but more so I would just go out and find guys.
Right.
And
let them know.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got this thing and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So was there a definitive time when you started this album or did it come out of stuff you were just working on with your dad? And then in the middle of it, did you guys go like, hey, this could be an album?
Well, no. The interesting thing about the album is that there are songs on that album that we wrote and recorded when I was 15, 16. Okay.
Actual recordings from then.
Yes.
Do you, then you're cool. Like, do you feel like as a singer, then your voice has been developed for a while? Because I don't hear some stuff and go like, well, that sounds like a 16, that sounds like 15-year-old Tessa. Right. Not new Tessa.
Right.
New Jack Tessa.
But so we kind of recorded a lot of, like, punk-inspired pop songs.
Yeah.
And it really started, like, my dad had found poetry that I had written and kind of like a lot, like without me really knowing, but kind of along the way was like, oh, like, hey, you know, like this is good. Yeah. Like kind of surprised.
Yeah.
And then I started just like coming up with ideas. I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Right.
Yeah.
And then one day he was like in the kitchen and I came downstairs and I'm like, I came up with an idea for a song last night and it's called Love is Dead Sunshine. And he was
good
like, thank
song.
You. Yeah. And he was like, you know, let me hear it. And like to him, the idea Love's Dead Sunshine was just like this great idea and we have to record it and like write the song. And that's really how like the album actually came to be. It was just like off of like that idea and proving that idea.
Right.
And then we were like, oh, we were all together.
Does he work with a lot of other people on that level? No, he doesn't, does he?
No.
Doesn't seem like he does.
Really.
You'd hear about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like doing, like being out in the thing, people would be like, hey, I'm working with a guy from Bodine.
Yeah.
You'd hear people saying that. I'm going to start saying that. But I'm going to be talking about building a pool.
That's hilarious.
Do you guys have a pool?
No.
Okay. That's one reason not to get adopted. Okay. So then you guys, once you did Love is Dead Sunshine, then you kind of knew you were onto something.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you started kind of like calling songs, coming to him with more stuff, then doing the emailing ideas.
Right. And then we kind of had this solid set of songs.
Yeah.
And we kind of like pitched them around and kind of at that point in time, then I had to struggle with just, it was that point in time where to me, I was so young and my songs were so real and I would go to LA and these big manager guys and label people would be like, well, this is what we want you to do. You know, like we want you to completely change basically. And at the point in time, I was just
wait, when they say that okay. So you made some demos, you sent them to some people. You get some meetings. Then you go to these meetings and they say, well, we like
we
you.
We like the songs.
Oh, we like the songs.
And we like you, but we want you to do this. All what, image stuff.
What?
And like...
What?
Oh, what? Gosh. Like, one person told me that like Nirvana was dead and Pearl Jam was out. I need to like... be modern and like dye my hair green and like do all that's, this stuff and
that's what those I mean
but I was just
they
like
dyed their hair weird.
But I was just like I don't think I want to like I was just like this rebellious kid at that
what
point
kind of
time.
Person did they want you to be? Was there a specific hey we want you to be more like
I don't even know. I was just like
who's like the kind of who's the girl that's Lana Del Rey?
No
Lana Del
I mean
because
it was so long ago it wasn't like that it okay. was like who knows?
Okay.
But it was just, like, so not up my alley. And, like I'm saying, like, if it was so long ago. And I was coming this from this perspective of, like, I just went through all this. And I wrote this real record. And if you don't like me, screw off.
Yeah.
I'm going to be who I am.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, that was a long time ago.
That's good.
But I didn't, you know, to me, I'm, like, I'm trying to reach people to be real with them.
Yeah.
Not to be someone else.
Yeah.
So then we kind of like set it down for a while and I started playing live a lot. That's when I started playing live.
Okay.
And I played for quite a few years around town and then some out in LA with a lot of awesome dudes. And then we kind of came back to the recordings and recorded a new batch of songs and we kind of like morphed the two projects into an album.
Uh-huh.
So
well, they go
hear,
seamlessly. They don't sound weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the early stuff was more like Did to You, Love's mm-hmm. Dead Sunshine, 10 Cent Pistol, East Street Hustle, those types.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, in the past few years, it was more like Breathe, Don't Leave, and I Want to Feel, and I'll Be Your Lover, and songs like that.
Okay. On, you're on Megaforce? That's awesome. That's a label.
They're awesome.
I have friends that were on there in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. That's an old, it's been around for,
yeah.
It started off kind of metally, right?
Yeah, like Metallica records and stuff.
That was, yeah, Megaforce.
Yeah, like
that's
early.
The one.
Yeah.
Johnny Z? Is it the label that Johnny Z owns?
Yeah. Owned. That's,
owned.
I think,
now he doesn't.
I don't think so.
Johnny Z.
But I think that was the
when I was signed to Lars Ulrich's label,
yeah.
And we left our management. I remember them like he kept on referring to this like we got to make sure that it's not a Johnny Z situation. And I was
what?
Like, the fuck is Johnny Z? And they finally explained it to me. I guess they had some deal with Johnny Z, and they signed some contract. And when it came time to get with Elektra, Elektra had to pay a bunch of money to get him out of the.
Well, that's probably somewhat
Johnny Z.
Somewhat normal.
Normal.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
but
shit.
The. Yeah, Missy at Megaforce MRI. MRI is like more the distribution arm. So
yeah.
I'm kind of like.
Right,
more,
right, right.
But yeah, Missy, she owns the label. And she is the coolest person in the music business I've ever met.
Really?
Like, I love her.
Like, yeah.
And that's rare to say, right? Like,
yeah, she's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just cool and. Awesome to work
okay,
with.
So you made the record. Did you go and get it? You went and mixed it with some songs with
Chris
Lord-Alge.
Yeah.
CLA.
That was crazy.
That how? What, did you meet him? Or was it a situation where you just sent it? Yeah.
I sent it. It was one of those things. Like, we had like this really short list of two people.
Yeah.
Me and my dad. My dad chose one and I chose one.
Yeah.
Like, if we could get this person or this person to mix some of these songs,
yeah.
It would be ridiculous. Like, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to reach out. And
so
I
was not available. And so then you guys got Chris
Lord-Alge. Right, right. So I like randomly emailed Chris Lord-Alge's people and was like, I love Chris Lord-Alge. Like, he is the best in the business. Like, who, obviously.
Yeah.
But I was like, and I was writing it truly expecting them to never get back to me, just really hoping they would.
Yeah.
So I write it like, would he do this? Would he have time to do it? And they email me like, we want to hear the music, obviously.
Right.
And I guess they listened and they emailed back like, he'll do it. And he has this opening like in this period of time, like coming up. And he did it. And it was awesome.
Great.
And he made
it. Did you have to send
sweet.
Anything back? Like, hey, can you change this a little bit? And he was real cool. Or did he go like, fuck you, I'm
Chris Lodowski.
I did not
want him to change anything.
Oh, really?
Like,
so you were happy?
I was like,
that's great.
Fuck. Like, they sounded so good.
What do you listen to?
What do I listen to?
Yeah, what are you listening to?
Well.
Like, are there any bands that
like
you want to go out on tour with or anything? Like, oh, I'd probably like to go out with a insert band name here. Alabama Shakes.
No.
I don't know why I thought
I've never heard of them.
You never have?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
But I listen to old music. I don't listen to a lot of new bands.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of loving the newer Joseph Arthur record. Have you heard it?
No, I've not.
There's this song called Currency of Love.
I like him a lot, though.
And I think it was like a collaboration with Chris Seyfried, who's awesome.
What does he do?
He's a producer.
Okay.
It's a great song. It's one of the greatest, like, newer songs I've heard.
Right.
It's sweet.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, check that out.
What else?
But, I mean, like, my influences.
I mean, like, if you
growing
want me to,
up,
who
like,
you, like, are the people you see where you're like, fuck, I wish I could open for that person, go out on tour doing the thing with them.
You're making me feel like I'm 80 right now.
Why?
Like, I'm like,
Everyone over the age of 25 is 80. Like,
if
you mean,
I could
like,
go out,
oh,
and,
like
truly, if I could go out yeah. and open for someone, it would be like Soundgarden or Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, really?
You know, like it would be someone like that, like truthfully.
Really?
Like, I can't think of like necessarily like a new band because I don't listen to a lot of new music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that terrible?
You know,
Am I missing out?
I don't know if it, I don't know. Look, that's a matter of choice. I think that sometimes what happens is now I go through this a lot with people, so I'm not going to talk about it again because if you listen to this show a lot, you'll go nuts listening to me say this over and over.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is there is good music being made. There's just a lot, and maybe the very, very mainstream, maybe all the electronic music is a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you sang along with me, Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, we
in the
did.
Car.
Yes.
Come on. So
we jammed out to that.
We did jam out to that. So you got to kind of know. And you got little brothers, I mean, little sisters.
They listen to a lot of Lana Del Rey, my sister.
See?
And I can feel some Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And some Rihanna.
So you like hip-hop. You're not a person that's
like
not into
it. I
like
all genres of music as long as it's good and I like it.
Okay. Except for new stuff. I'm just joking.
That's terrible. I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to be like,
well, you know
thinking
what?
Of all
you know
these
who
bands
has, you know who
so
has
stupid.
New music?
Who?
You.
Me. It's true.
So, I mean, that's why I like new music because it's totally self-driven because yeah. if I don't like new music, then when I put out new music, who's going to like mine if I don't even
true.
Like new music?
It's true.
There's, how many songs do you have on here? 11 songs. It's about under 45 minutes. That's cool.
Yeah.
You have pop songs. That song that we listened to in the intro.
Did to you.
Which is, there's a video for that. There's also a video for
The Way It Moved.
The Way It Moved. That's the second single. Do you deal in singles?
Did to you is the first single. That's what we're out with right now.
Okay.
And then I did The Way It Moved for fun, kind of, to put
okay.
out there.
Well, let's talk what's happened since you put out the album. Just a month ago, and
yeah.
you've had a lot of great reviews.
Yeah, well, the first video Did To You premiered with American Songwriter.
Yes,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And they said
cool.
nice things, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
they're really nice. And then the second video premiered with Blurt, and they were really nice too.
What's Blurt?
Blurt magazine. It's
when
like an online.
When people are hearing it, what are they saying? Are they saying, because you do have a unique voice.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, it's like that with a lot of music. But
I don't mean that bad either.
No,
like,
no.
Oh, you have. I mean,
I
it's
know,
a great
but
voice,
like,
but it is.
I feel like people love it or hate it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like people are like, this is this rock chick or like, what the fuck is this rock chick doing? Like,
same,
very much.
That's the same thing they said about Pat Benatar when she came out. Same
yeah,
thing.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
It's who I am.
I don't know why I just used Pat Benatar as a reference.
She had good songs.
Yeah.
Who doesn't listen singer. To We Belong?
Yeah. Who Do doesn't? You know those guys?
Dan?
Yeah. We talked about that, right?
I hung out.
Yeah. Dan Navarro.
Yeah.
I hung out with him with Michael Ramos one night a long time ago in Venice Beach. He's the nicest dude.
Well, Loan and Navarro.
Loan and Navarro.
Eric Loan There's another passed guy. Away.
Oh, he did? Okay, I don't know. I just know him from one night of, like, making me laugh.
Dan's a sweet guy. I've met him a few times.
Yeah.
He knows my dad really well.
Do you ever write with him?
No.
Do you ever write with other people? Do you ever get together? Did anyone ever say, hey, we got to send her out to write with the guy that just wrote the latest song
not
for
really.
Keith Urban?
I mean, people have kind of asked me to collaborate, but I just never have. I recently though signed with Downtown Music.
So you got a publishing deal?
Yeah.
As a writer?
Yeah.
The hell, man. Congratulations.
And that was like ridiculous. I went to meet with them in New York. They liked what they heard. And like, this is the company who like has John Lennon, Imagine, and like Hans Zimmer and
Oh yeah, you told
Neon
me this.
Trees and stuff.
Yeah.
I like peed my pants. It was so awesome. Not literally, but
that would have been
I was
awesome
like
if
incredibly.
You pants
I was so excited.
Someone's giving you a bunch of money, and you're like, "Fuck! I'm so sorry.
No,
but I just peed in my pants.
I didn't make a bunch of money, but no, I was just happy that like they wanted to work.
So they want to. They're looking to maybe place your songs in places. And
yes.
Are they going to try and get you with other writers?
Yeah. All of it.
Traveling. You have been traveling, and you've been going and doing press and stuff because you haven't really done many shows.
I haven't done a lot of shows lately. I've been traveling a bit with my dad, with Bodine's.
Oh, okay.
Because they're on the road a lot.
Okay.
I've been traveling a bit, like, for stuff with me, but nothing to talk about.
Nothing to write home about?
No. But then I was just featured in Magnet Magazine, which
oh, really?
Is one of my favorite
Good Lord, that's a great
outlets.
Magazine.
Yeah, I love Magnet Magazine. And I did, like, their mixtape for Magnet. And so they write like a little feature and show the video, and then you do like your 10 favorite songs by artists.
Okay, what were those songs?
So I did like, with me, I'm a music freak. You wouldn't know it by our just a minute ago conversation.
Yeah, no, no.
But like old music,
yeah,
I could pick like 100 songs.
Okay, so
so they're
pick?
Like pick these Mixed 10 tapes. Songs.
Yeah.
Write a bit about them.
Okay.
And
I'm waiting.
So I picked what were my songs. Tom Waits, Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis. Johnny Thunders, So Alone. Velvet Underground, Heroin. Nine Inch Nails, Closer. Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart. Gosh, The Replacements, Can't Hardly Wait. Bob Dylan, Moonshiner. And
Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
And Van Morrison, Beside You.
Okay.
And then I wrote about like why they influenced me or why I liked them.
And those
a lot
really
of fun.
That really because that's like a critic. That's like a critic's. If I was gonna make something for a critic, and I wanted them to like me, that's the mixtape I'd make.
Them. Oh really? I'm a critic suck up.
No, I'm not saying you are, but you really listen to that stuff.
No, like those.
I mean,
that
like,
is,
look,
no, but really, that's the music I listen to. Those are songs that, like, when I was 12, I laid on my floor listening to on repeat.
I don't know what my problem is, but sometimes if it's too singer-songwritery and it doesn't feel like it's a good time or shoegazery, love the Velvet Underground.
Love the Velvet Underground.
I love Tom Waits.
Yeah,
I can only listen so long.
Well,
and
Tom
Leonard
Waits.
Cohen, love him. I can only listen so long.
Yeah. Well. To me,
is that terrible?
Well, no, I know what you mean. Like Tom Waits, there's a lot of songs that I wouldn't necessarily listen to.
I know it's him when I hear him,
but
or an offshoot thereof.
But have you ever heard "Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis"?
No.
Oh,
but maybe I have. I don't know what album is it
on. It is so sad.
I've had a couple of albums.
Yeah,
it's like Big Time, and one that was real gray on the front, messy, crazy looking.
Well, look up the song and listen to it.
Okay.
I literally it's going to sound so cheesy, but I cried the first time I heard this song.
I love music
because it was
like
just
that.
So, and that's why I said, like, when a song can get that kind of emotion out of you, you know it's doing its job, like telling its story. And so that's more why I picked that song, because to me, music is about telling a story more than anything.
Right.
So.
So... Tessa, you got these things going on. It says you're going to be doing some playing in the fall.
Yeah.
It just became fall on Sunday.
Yeah. Late fall.
What's going on? Do you have a plan? Do you have people? Is there something that people can look out for? Should they just go to TessaTorrance.com and
TessaTorrance.com to get updates?
Do you have an email list? Are you good at that?
You Facebook? There's one on there.
You're good at Facebook?
Yes, Facebook.
And you got a music page?
Yes.
Tessa Torrance.
Tessa Torrance Music is the URL.
Oh, that's like me, Johnny Gowdy Music.
Yeah. Did we just choose music or did people steal our URL names?
My other one's called Johnny Gowdy. Just hanging out stuff.
Right? Go here for music. Here.
Yeah, if you
want to
hear about music, go to this page. If you want to just hear hanging out stuff.
That's probably good. You don't want to be one of those overposters like me.
No, you're not an overposter. Okay, so are you on Instagram? You're not on Instagram.
No.
You're not?
I don't feel Instagram.
You know, your sister's on Instagram. Follow her.
Yes.
Why? Does she annoy you? Sometimes you're in her pictures.
Am I? Oh, God.
Seen him. So you don't Instagram at all. You don't even have an account.
No. I just started
you're trying
Twitter.
To make it in music.
I just started Twitter and I felt
old. How you doing on Twitter?
Because I was like that person that's like, you know, like, what am I doing? Like, you know, those people that are like, did this tweet
send? What do I
like,
say?
What is a retweet?
Am I Twitterizing?
I'm like 80 years old. But I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
I've finally got
the hang
of it.
You just sitting out
there
in the country tweeting away?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of followers.
Do I follow you? I will follow you.
Do you follow me? I follow you.
Did you get all my stuff yesterday when I was watching Saturday Night Fever? I was tweeting important quotes, and then I made two little movies. One of them that was just the extras in the movie dancing.
Really?
No one ever talks
about it. Do they call
it
a GIF now? I think they call it something like that. When you like.
No, I Instagram my movies.
Oh, really?
Vine. There's a site called Vine, but I didn't get on Vine because I knew eventually Instagram was going to have video, and it would make Vine obsolete.
Nice.
You like how I get all subversive? So is your favorite then is Facebook? Do you miss MySpace?
I don't miss MySpace. Not really. They're having a hard time bringing sexy back on MySpace.
Here's a question. Wow, that was a great... Did you hear that somewhere?
No, I just made that up.
You really?
I swear to
That's
God.
Fucking great. That is great because he owns it.
Yeah.
Fucking, wow.
I was feeling
that's a home run. I'm going to use it
but
tonight.
But I do love
in conversation,
Timberlake,
I'm going to use it.
But it's just funny.
Do you like Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
You like the 2020 experience?
Well, I haven't heard that, but have you heard Jay-Z, Holy Grail?
Yeah.
Featuring Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. You know, man, I couldn't get 100% behind the latest Jay-Z.
No.
No? I tell you what, though, I can get behind the new Yeezus, Kanye Yeezus.
Really? Yep. I can't get behind that?
I'm behind it.
I haven't really listened, but...
It's intense. It's
weird.
I
don't know how I feel about it.
You know what's a great way to be exposed to it? Maybe you'd hate it if you listened to it. Watch the preview for the new Scorsese movie.
Really?
It's in there. And it gets you.
I'll check it out.
It gets under your skin, and it says, hey, I'm Kanye, and I'm fucking freaking out. So people will be able to find you. They get on there. Your links to your music are on there?
Yeah.
You're on iTunes?
I'm on iTunes, yeah.
You're on, physically, there's physical albums.
Yeah.
They can go to Waterloo, obviously, in Austin, Texas, but there are other people in the world listening to this show. You got distribution, right?
Yeah.
Are you
in
Target? Or?
Yeah, well, I think Best Buy.
You're in Best Buy?
And Barnes & Noble and Kmart and...
Kmart?
That's just what I see.
Are there even Barnes & Nobles anymore? They're all closing
there's
where
some.
I go and see them.
I see some.
That's good.
But I mean, that's where I've seen it, Book People, whatever.
They sell here, Book People?
They might. I saw it online. I don't know.
Waterloo?
But
Waterloo, who handles your business? Because you obviously don't know what's going on. You don't even Instagram.
It's a tag team. I handle some of it.
Okay. What can we expect from Tessa Torrance in the next few months?
In the next few months?
Yeah.
Hopefully you can expect a lot, Johnny Gowdy.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
Well, anything in specific. Hey, I'm specifically working on this. I'm going to try and get this going on. And you don't ever tour opening for the Bodines? I know
No. That
sounds very gratuitous.
Well, no, we just try to keep that like separate.
Sure, but you know what? If you weren't Kurt's daughter,
mm-hmm.
in a situation where he spent that much time working on a record, like co-writing the record,
yeah,
and playing the stuff on it and producing it,
mm-hmm.
that person would probably be like, hey, why don't you do one more thing for me?
Yeah, no.
Okay, I get it.
You know, it's just one of those things
sure.
where, like, we worked well together, but, like, we're not going to do the kid opening
sure.
for the dad thing. No, I mean, like, neither of us want to do that. Not because it's not a good opportunity. Like, who
it's
wouldn't
just weird.
Love to do it? But it's, like, I never want to, even though, like, we worked together on an album,
yeah.
it was because we worked together well. But I never want to be the kid that's like, oh, my dad's handing me this opening slot.
Right.
Like, you know?
Okay. Well, yeah. I was going to see how long I could make the silence go. Feel No Evil is the name of the album.
Yeah.
Tessa Torrance is the artist. This is a pretty sultry cover.
Yeah.
You get some pretty sultry stuff going on.
Yeah. Well,
videos, sexy, looking sexy in there.
Thank you.
And people can find those on YouTube or they can go to your website and just TessaTorrance.com.
YouTube,
for
Viva,
all your TessaTorrance needs.
Facebook, anywhere. Yeah.
And there's links to Facebook, Twitter, and the whole shenanigans.
Yeah.
There. Okay. Is there anything that else we need to know about you? Just buy the album.
You're the interviewer, Johnny Gotti.
Well, I know, but you might go like, oh, wait, there's something I forgot to tell you guys that I didn't say. No?
No.
All right. Well, I'm glad you were able to come over to the podcast.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
I miss hanging out with you. I haven't hung out with you in a long time.
My mom asked when you're coming over.
Your mom said we should have lunch, and then I never heard from her again.
Well, she asked me to ask.
Okay, let's make this happen.
And then it was really funny, like, no joke. Do you remember when we came out to your show and we brought our friend from Minneapolis?
Yes.
Okay, so yesterday, literally right after we texted, she texted me that she was listening to your podcast.
No way.
She's your fan of your podcast.
No way.
She saw you.
Ah,
and she texted me
lives.
Like, I'm listening to Johnny Gotti's podcast from Minnesota. Like, when are you going to be on it? Like, no joke.
And did you say
and
tomorrow?
And I was like, holy crap, we're recording it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you were reading our minds.
That's
and
weird.
Was like, so that's so funny.
So people are listening all over the world, Tessa.
How awesome is that?
It's pretty awesome. It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were finally on. I hope that people get out there and buy the record. I look forward to everything you do because I do love what you did. And
thank you.
I think your voice, even though I said it was unique, I want to make sure that it is clear that I love it. And I love your songs and I love what you have to say. And I love what you and Kurt did on the record. It's very beautiful, and you made Misery sound like a pretty good time.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It's definitely from the heart.
Yeah. Everyone get out there at TessaTorrance.com, buy the record, and get into it. Bye. All right. Tessa Torrance. Great person. Great hang. Great record. She and Kurt made a great record. Get out there and buy it. Support her. TessaTorrance.com. Do it. I learned stuff about her. I like learning stuff about people I already know and I hang out with. And then I find out shit that I didn't know before. Now I know it. All right? So, hey, listen. I know I tell you this all the time. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And when you're there, comment. Leave a rating. That helps us. It helps us with our advertising. We're starting to get advertising. People are starting to advertise on the show. If you'd like to advertise on the show, write to me, johnnygoudie@gmail.com, johnnygoudie@gmail.com. And also, for all your How Did I Get Here needs, go to our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here, like that page. Pictures and stuff get posted on there when I interview people and also updates on guests that have been on, which is very exciting. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am @JohnnyGoudie. All right, let's enjoy a little more Tessa Torrance, and let's get down.